We welcome you to another live edition of the Sports Box, brought to you by our sponsor, Showcase Sports in Hamilton. Showcase Sports for the elite athlete. And by our friends over at CrowdPlay. Download the free CrowdPlay app today and check them out at www.crowdplayapp.com for details. Ladies and gentlemen, it's showtime.
Hey everybody, welcome to Cage My IQ. As always, I'm your host, D-Bake. Joining with me is my co-host, Jim. How's it going, Jim?
It's going. I'm ready to talk some fights. A hard card to pick for me.
Yes, it is. This is a very interesting card in itself. But today we will be previewing UFC Vegas 30, Ciryl Gane going up against Alexander Volkov in the main event. What was your first thoughts when you saw this card?
It's like the battle of the big boys. The co-main and the main are heavyweight fights. There's some more heavyweight fights on there. A lot of up-and-coming, unfamiliar names to a casual MMA fan.
Exactly. And this is going to be the last card before 264, Conor McGregor versus Dustin Poirier 3.
Yeah.
There's going to be a break in between with the 4th of July next weekend. So that would be kind of nice to just get a little bit of rest in between and get ready for that big card.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a huge card. Kicks off the summer.
But as always, as everybody knows, this is Cage by IQ, the best place for MMA content. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch at the handles to the left. Don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel. We got preview recap videos as well as we have interviews. So if MMA is your thing, come check out Cage My IQ. And then next week, we'll have an announcement because we have a new business venture that we'll be going to. So stick around next week for that. We'll let you know about that in the coming week. But as always, we got our three sponsors, 99 Jersey. Use promo code SportsBoxShow20 at checkout to receive 20% off your next purchase. Just go to www.99jersey.com and use the promo code right there. Then you got Odds Jam. Just go to the link in the bio so you never miss a bet again. All you got to do is go to the link that we have in our bio for this video. Click on it, sign up, check out all the different odds for the bets that you want to make. Choose the best one that you can because they give you several to choose from. And watch as you never lose a bet again because you got so many to choose from. Just pick the best one around. And once again, that is Odds Jam. And then lastly, we have High Tide Herbal. Use promo code CAGEMYIQ10 at checkout to receive 10% off your next purchase. This is run by coaches and athletes who specialize in wellness, and what they want to do is help in your recovery. So they got all these products from soap, suds, and everything in between to help you with your recovery. And all the products have CBD in it to help the process. So once again, go to www.hightideherbal.com and use the promo code right there to receive 10% off your next purchase. Are you ready now to get started with this preview?
Yeah, I'm ready to rumble.
Let's get started with the first fight that we have on here. We got a matchup, a lightweight matchup between Renato Moicano, who is 14-4-1 and is the minus 240 favorite, going up against Jai Herbert, who is 10-2 and is the plus 200 underdog. What do you see with this?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, this is an early contender for fight of the night for me. I think Renato Moicano has had some troubles with his chin as of late. He's coming off a loss, but out of his last five, he's got three out of his last five were losses. I expect these two to throw often and a lot and throw a ton of volume. And I expect Moicano to move better, which we've seen in his last two fights with his move at lightweight. His gas tank has been improved because that drastic weight cut hasn't had to happen. Moicano also has great leg kicks. We know this. And he also has a BJJ black belt level grappling. Moicano is due for a win. And this fight was extremely hard to pick for me. and maybe the hardest one on the card, if I'm being honest. But I think Herbert and his use of the jab and combination is going to be too much for Moicano. So I'm going to go with Herbert, the big underdog, by second round KO. I think that 7-inch or 6-inch reach advantage, 5-inch, I'm sorry, it's a 5-inch reach advantage. I think that's huge. Herbert's a lanky dude who uses his hands pretty well, and he's a knockout artist. And I think with Moicano's leaving the chin open when he's dropping his hands, I think is going to pay dividends on this one. What do you think? You're on mute.
They both have one grand weakness with this matchup that really makes things hard to pick them. But I'll get to that in a second. But first, you got Moicano, who is fighting out of Brasilia, Federal District, Brazil. He's 32 years old, 155 pounds, 5'11", 72-inch reach. And he fights out of American Top Team Gym and then Constrictor Team Gym. Then you got Jai Herbert. He fights out of England. He's 33 years old, 156 pounds, 6'1", 77-inch reach. And he fights out Team Renegade BJJ Gym. You got Moicano, who has a Muay Thai style background where he stands tall and leaves his chin in the air, which is something that he has to watch in this fight. He tends to lean back a lot, and he has a great low calf kick. So expect for him to utilize that a lot in this matchup because of Herbert's height. Moicano is great at grappling against the fence to get takedowns. He has really good, well-rounded jiu-jitsu, but he tends to take too many shots and leaves himself open, like I said before. And then you got Jai Herbert. He's pretty tall for the division. He has a very good reach, very light on his feet. He likes to feint and throw jabs, which are used mainly to set up his right hook. Everything is coming right at you, and he has a great movement and speed to him for his height. He's not good at defending on the ground, and his takedown defense is very poor. Mm-hmm. That's one thing, like I was saying, in this matchup where both of them have a thing that they need, glaring weakness. His Herbert is his takedown defense, whereas Moicano has really good wrestling. But the weakness, I think, with Moicano is his coaches. He has two coaches that he usually uses that when he uses them, they focus on his takedowns, his wrestling. He does that, he wins. But then for some reason, he uses two other coaches, and they're the ones that get him to basically stand up and trade. That's what he's done the past couple fights, and he's lost because he's trying to stand up and fight with them where he should be using his wrestling to his advantage. I feel like this all hinges on who he uses, because if he uses his wrestling in his fight, I think he's going to dominate, because I don't think Herbert's going to be able to combat against it, because he doesn't defend the takedown at all. And Moicano will be able to minimize that. But if Moicano stands up and trades, I think he's going to get knocked out. But I feel like in this matchup, he's going to get back to the wrestling. He's going to limit the shots that he takes because he's going to be on the ground. He's really good with transitioning from each guard. And I feel like he's going to keep it on the ground so he doesn't get popped at all because of that. The height advantage isn't going to matter if you're on the ground. So I got this as a unanimous decision victory for Moicano, where he's just going to wear Herbert down on the ground. But I will give that option. Well, I do think if he does stand and trade, I will agree with you. Herbert could win by second round knockout. I do think he could, but yeah. I'm hoping he doesn't. I'm hoping he takes the fight to the ground.
Yeah, I mean, that 5-inch reach advantage is huge. You know, that can really change the fight. But I agree with you. I think, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, there may be, in terms of Moicano's corner, there may be too many cooks in the kitchen.
No.
We see that kind of often when people start at one camp. Let's go Aljamain Sterling, right? He started with Sarah Longo and then trained in Las Vegas. And
yes.
He couldn't bring his primary coach of Matt Serra. So he went with the Las Vegas coach. So sometimes we see that power struggle between coaches who think they know their fighter from the past and coaches who know their fighter of the present. And I think that's what we're looking at of Moicano.
Yeah. But so you got second round knockout by Herbert, and I got unanimous decision by Moicano.
Yep.
So let's move on to the second fight we have on the card. It's a welterweight matchup between Tim Means, who was supposed to fight last week, but then he had to pull out. So now he's coming in 31-12-1 as the -130 favorite, and he's going up against Nicholas Dolby, who is 19-3-1 and is the +110 underdog. What do you see with this matchup?
Well, first, they're two veterans, 37 and 36 in age for both of them. But this is your striker versus wrestling matchup. We get one on every card. Means has bounced back from a few bad outings and has went 3-2 of his last five and is looking to ride that momentum. He's facing Dolby, who's a good wrestler who likes to grind it out on the ground and looks to score points by adding up ground to pound and submission attempts. Tim Means has the advantage in a lot of areas, most importantly, his ability to keep the fight standing. However, his weakness has been his takedown defense, and going up against a good wrestler like Dolby could be the difference. I expect Means to push the pace and work on his jab and his leg kicks to keep distance to negate these takedowns. One thing that kind of stood out to me about Dolby, you know, he's a great wrestler. You're going up against somebody with not great takedown defense, but I don't think I've seen this in a while. Two of Dolby's last five fights have ended in a draw in two different organizations. So he's not that guy who's going to come in here and just starch his opponent. He's the guy who's going to grind it out, take it into deep waters. And I think that this is what's going to happen with this one, but I'm going to go on the opposite side. I'm going to pick Means by decision. I think the veteran knowledge he's got, you know, he's got more wins than Dolby has fights. I think going to pay dividends.
Yeah. So we'll start with this. We got Dolby. He fights out of Copenhagen, Denmark. He's 36 years old, 170 pounds, 5'11", with a 74.5-inch reach, and he fights out of Rumble Sports Gym. Then you got Tim Means. He fights out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. He's 37 years old, 171 pounds, 6'2", with a 75-inch reach, and he fights out of Fit and an NHB Gym. First, you got Darby. He has a karate background, and he likes to use a lot of high kicks and calf kicks. That's his game. He uses a lot of kicks. He punches off the clinch break very well and has decent hands. Not great, but just decent. He's kind of predictable with his takedowns, but is known for using his distance. He's pretty good wrestling and does well on the mat. He likes to change between guard a lot. He likes to transfer to mount when he's on top of his opponent on the mat. Volume and cardio are great usages of his, and he is very durable. He needs to improve his takedown defense, but he's getting a little bit better with it. And then you got Means. He is a southpaw striker who has fluid hands, nice boxing, good foot movement, and great striking defense. He likes to switch between stances depending on the fighter he's going up against. He's been mixing takedowns into his game plan lately and developing smarter fight IQ. Mm-hmm. He's starting to show his wear and takes too much damage in fights now, but he's hoping that that doesn't affect him too much. In this fight, just like last one, these fights are hard to dictate.
Yeah, every single one of them.
But I'm going to lead towards Nicholas Darby on this because I think that karate background with the wrestling is going to be a good usage for him. He can use the distance with his karate to kick him in the lead leg, because Tim Means is going to have that lead leg in front of him. And then he's going to then shoot and take for takedowns, which the percentage chance of him getting it is going to be pretty high, because Means needs to improve on that. So I feel like, to me, this is another decision victory on my hands, and I'm going with Darby.
Wow, this whole card could go completely different. One of us could go like 5-0, and the other one can go 0-5. It's crazy. So far.
I agree with that. I just, like, I wanted to go Means, but I'm like, there's two things that Dolby does that match up great with Means.
Yeah. Wrestling, number one.
Wrestling is one, and that karate, those leg kicks, I feel like are going to be a good buffer to the wrestling. Yeah, because you're going to...
Like you said, he switches stances, though, to Means. So, like, he's going to... he's going to check those kicks and kind of keep Dolby guessing. I'm trying to convince you to go to Tim.
But my thought process with that is when he does that, he's going to leave himself open every time he switches for the takedown.
You're right.
So if Darby was smart, he would use that, use the kicking to get in the switch stances, then shoot him for the takedown as he's switching, because he's not going to be able to go defend it right away the other way because that's because he's fighting southpaw to begin with.
Yeah, that's pretty smart. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see, though. Maybe he just says, the hell with it. Let's stand up and bang.
And that's how guys make mistakes, just doing the opposite of what they should do.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, and that's what could – if he does that, that's what would win means the fight is just that. Just in the Makano fight, it's all about sticking with the game plan. If you stick with it, you're good, but then you got fighters that don't want to stick with the game plan. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, the moment you deviate from the course is there's a problem. You know, you're going to encounter so many different issues and hiccups.
But let's move on to the third fight in the card. And we got a featherweight matchup between Andre Feely, who is 21-8 and is the -230 favorite, going up against Daniel Pineda, who is 27-14, is the +190 underdog. What do you see with this matchup?
This is another good matchup of two fighters looking to bounce back from tough losses. You know, last fight with Dolby, I said, you know, last five, he had two draws, and I'd never seen that before. Well, enter Daniel Pineda, who has the exact same thing. Two draws in his last five fights, which is crazy. Could you imagine? Andre Feely has shown great improvements as of late, and does a great job keeping distance and using his jab. Pineda, on the other hand, has an unpredictable style and is balls to the wall from bell to bell. He does seem at a disadvantage in this fight, giving up height, range, cardio, and has trouble with southpaws, which Feely likes to switch up and fight southpaw at times. I wouldn't be shocked if Feely uses that team alpha male IQ wrestling and shoots for takedowns early to kind of negate the balls to the wall, extreme pace that Pineda fights with, and to kind of just lay on him and drag this fight into deep waters so that gas tank is non-existent come round two. So with that being said, this actually, I think, was the easiest fight to pick for me, just because I've watched more Andre Feely fights than anybody else on this card. You know what I mean? He's a fight night main card, if not the big prelim competitor. So I'm going to go with Andre Feely and get back in the win column. I'm going to go with him by decision. By decision.
Yeah. First, we got Feely, who fights out of Sacramento, California. He's 31 years old, 146 pounds. He's 5'11 with a 74-inch reach, and he fights out Team Alpha Male Gym. Then you got Daniel Pineda. He fights out of Houston, Texas. He's 35 years old, 145 pounds, 5'7 with a 70-inch reach, and he fights out 40-ounce Fight Club Gym. You got Andre Feely, who likes to use a lot of feints and uses his reach to his advantage. He tends to follow his opponent with his front foot instead of cutting them off at the cage, which is something that isn't going to benefit him against Pineda. He likes to mirror his opponent's stances, and he likes to throw body and high kicks. His striking defense as a southpaw needs work. He has good takedowns, but needs to improve his takedown defense. Then you got Daniel Pineda. He is a striker who tends to slow down the longer the fight goes, so cardio is going to be an issue. He throws hard leg kicks that are vicious. Everything he does has intent with explosiveness. He has his hands low, so he doesn't block shots much, so he's going to take damage in this fight. He tries to stay in range too much. He leans back to avoid strikes. Pineda has aggressive jiu-jitsu and looks to inflict damage on top of guard when he gets his opponent down on the mat. With me, with this matchup, it's more of the same. It's going to be who does what and when. And I feel like with Pineda, he's going to do damage to Feely's legs with those leg kicks. But then at the same time, I feel like Pineda's going to leave himself open a lot. And that's, you don't want to do that against a guy like Andre Fili. He's had some tough fights with the two losses they had against top tier guys. And I just feel like he's going to use the wrestling to combat against Pineda to keep him from using those explosive kicks or strikes. And he's going to use it to tire out Pineda because Pineda's going to put, I think, going to put a lot into that first round. His cardio is going to go down. So I feel like I got Andre Fili in this matchup, and I'm going to take it by third round submission.
Wow.
Okay, I'm going to go that way because he's going to be tired out. And I feel like Fili will be able to lock a submission on because for some reason I feel like Pineda's not going to get knocked out in this.
Yeah, I mean, Fili's got – he has knockout power, but he hasn't really knocked anybody out in quite some time. He does have that 4-inch reach advantage, which is pretty pretty glaring in this fight because of the use of the jab. I remember his last fight, even though he lost, he utilized that jab very well, and he's been increasingly – improving his stand-up game as of late. So I'm looking for like Andre Touchy Fili 3.0 in this one. We saw 2.0 a couple fights ago, and now we're gonna get 3.0.
yep. But let's move on to the fourth fight on the card. This was a late add-on to the main card. They did a little shuffle. They had this one on here, then they made the Kennedy Njeku and Marquez fight the lead fight on the prelims.
Love but when we gotta do that.
Yep.
From a notes perspective, I love when they do that.
Yep. But we got a bantamweight matchup between Rayoni Barcelos, who is 16-1 and is the -220 favorite, going up against Timur Valiev, who is 17-2 and is the +180 underdog. What do you see in this matchup?
I mean, when it comes to two guys who are going to stand there and bang, this is a great addition to this main card. Two guys who are coming in world-class strikers, in my opinion. Barcelos is coming in riding a 9-fight win streak and is coming off a dominant win against Khalid Taha. Timur is coming in on a 7-fight win streak and is coming off and is looking to capitalize on his hot streak. Both of these fighters have great stand-up, which I expect to be showcased during this fight. Barcelos, however, has the advantage in wrestling, counter-punching, submission power, and has a better gas tank. Which I think will pay dividends in this fight. So, quickly put, this is going to be a third round TKO by Barcelos.
Rayoni Barcelos.
All right, Rayoni Barcelos. Thank you. Usually I'm the one correcting you. I'm going to go Barcelos by third round TKO just because that gas tank's going to give up on Valiev.
First, we got Rayoni Barcelos. He is fighting out of Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. He's 34 years old, 135 pounds, 5'7", with a 67-inch reach, and then he fights out Rizzo RVT Gym. Then you got Timur Valiev, who is fighting out of Moscow, Russia. He's 31 years old, 145 pounds, 5'6". With a 67-inch reach, and then he fights out Dag Fighter Gym and then Jackson Wink MMA Gym, which is a pretty interesting combo for choices for gyms. But first, you got Barcelos. He is very light on the feet, and he has good movement. He tends to fight on his front foot the majority of the time. He's not afraid to be taken down. He likes to use feints to disguise his takedown entries, and he likes to strike in and out range. He has good head movement and uses good timing. He has a good calf kick. He needs to limit the damage he takes in. He has very good wrestling, and he likes to set his takedowns up in advance. He thinks ahead of time. He likes to take his opponents back, and then he has very good cardio, and he has a black belt in jiu-jitsu. Then you got Valiev, who is very good at controlling the pace and has good movement. He's always thinking of the next shot ahead and throws a lot of feints to gauge his opponent. He throws a lot of kicks and has great technique. He throws body kicks to southpaws and tends to get caught at times since he doesn't strike too much. He uses his boxing to get out of range so he isn't too predictable, and he has very good takedowns and is aggressive. He has that Khabib mindset where they know how to use the cage and keep the opponent down on the ground. And he has great cardio and pushes the pace. This is probably the most tough fight for me to dictate and to like just dissect, because they have so many things going for them, and that's why they're both basically unbeaten in the last five fights, because they both have advantages, more advantages than cons. They both have takedowns. They both like to throw kicks, and they both have really good cardio. But in this matchup, I feel like with the disguising, that's the big thing in this matchup, I think, is the disguising of what you're going to do. And I feel like Barcelos is going to have that on his side. I think they're both going to be training takedowns, and I believe it's going to be a big matchup for him. But I just feel like the power is going to be on Barcelos' side, whereas Valiv, he's going to be content with the takedowns and just trying to wear him out and keep him on the ground as where he's trained at, the Dagfighter gym. That's what they're probably trained at, because I believe he's from Dagestan. So I feel like Barcelos is going to keep the fight on the feet, use all that, and I'm going out on a limb. I'm going second round knockout by Barcelos.
Okay, so we're both on the same limb. Mine's just a little higher with the third round.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see what happens with Valiev, because his last fight, he looked really good. He fought Martin Day, dominant performance, but that was at featherweight. So he's looked very good, 10 pounds heavier, and now he's dropping 10 pounds, which could, you know, we've seen it before with Khabib. When he gets on that scale, he looks drained. But then he goes, Khabib's a whole other animal. I don't know why he brought him up. But who knows what that weight cut's going to be like going, you know, when you're comfortable at 145, now you're dropping down to 135 again.
And then he might lose some of that, some power.
Yeah.
He might gain speed, but he might lose power. And then Barcelos has power in that division. So that's going to be a thing to look into because of everything that they both do. I just feel like in this matchup, I really like Barcelos. He disguises the takedown. And then just his movement. He has movement and timing. That's going to be key. And then the calf kicks. He's gonna be more accurate. And he might even have a lot more volume on his side, whereas Valiv is going to be all about the takedowns.
Yeah, Barcelos really moves his head very well.
Yes.
Like, he doesn't absorb a lot of strikes, throws a good amount, but doesn't take a lot of damage. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this was a – when you say hard, this one was pretty easy for me, just because I'm a big proponent of like the weight cut, right? I've talked about it, I think, on every podcast we've done. So if you're dropping down and you look good at a weight class, you drop it down. I don't know. It could be dangerous.
Yep. But let's move on to the co-main event of the evening. We got a heavyweight matchup between Tanner Bruiser, who just fought a couple weeks ago. He is coming in 19-8-1 and is the -170 favorite. And he's going up against Vince St. Preux, who's 25-15 and is the +145 underdog. What do you see in this matchup?
Well, I see OSP is back at heavyweight on a short notice fight against a man who is looking to get back on the winning side of the decision in Tanner Bowser. Lately, OSP has been a more cautious fighter and keeps distance, looking for a kill shot. Bowser likes to move forward, and he likes to headhunt and move within the punches. When I'm watching that fight between OSP and Ben Rothwell, the main event, not the main event, but the debut at heavyweight, I was pretty underwhelmed, if I'm going to be honest with you. I thought OSP going in there was going to dominate. Lightweight, moving up. He moves faster. He's a big guy, 6'3", has a really decent reach of 80 inches. And he was just overwhelmed by Ben Rothwell. And I think that's going to be the same thing with this fight with Tanner Bowser. Bowser just moves right forward, gets you back on the cage, and just wails on you. Now, the thing that could kind of play the opposite for Tanner Bowser is OSP's great on the ground. That Von Flue choke is amazing. They should call it the OSP choke or the St. Preux choke. But
if he hasn't used it in a while.
Yeah, because I don't think he's had the opportunity. He's kind of turned into Tyron Woodley to me, where he just stands there, moves distance, does enough to get ahead on the scorecards, but doesn't do enough damage. He looks for that kill shot, and it looks very cautious. And I think that is going to go into it a little bit more after that fight with Jamahal Hill, where it exposed him, in my opinion. So I'm going to go with Boser. I think he's going to be too much. I'm going to go with Boser by decision. I think he gets right back in that. Who do you got in this fight?
This was a pretty good one, but I'm going to test you with that because I feel like the big thing with Vince St. Preux is the fact that he has a basically a glass chin now, and I think that's why he acts the way he does now. But First, you got Vince St. Preux, who fights out of Knoxville, Tennessee. He's from Haiti. He's 38 years old, 207 pounds. 6'3 with a 80-inch reach, and he fights at Knoxville Martial Arts Academy gym. Then you got Tanner Boser, who is fighting out of Bonnyville, Alberta, Canada. He's 29 years old, 242 pounds, 6'2 with a 75.5-inch reach, and he fights out of Hayabusa Training Center gym. First, you got Vince St. Preux. He's a southpaw fighter who likes to use his kicking game. His hands need improvement, but he likes to throw check right hooks. He leaves his lead hand low, which is concerning, and he has awkward bounce at times. So it looks like when he gets hit that he's stabbled, but it's just him with his awkward bounce. His body kicks and high kicks are his go-to shots. He's very good submission game, as you said, with the Von Vlue choke, and he's really good on top of his opponent on the mat. His chin is really bad, and he tends to gas out pretty fast now. Then you've got Tanner Boser. He throws a lot of feints and has the hand speed advantage against most fighters in the division, but his striking is pretty limited. He has speed and volume and likes to throw the overhand rights. He has a good lower calf kick, has good footwork, and a granite chin. He has subpar get-ups when he gets taken down, and then he needs to stay on his feet. He likes to throw it at kickboxing range. That's where he's most comfortable. I think just like you said in this matchup, you would want it on paper go with Vince St. Preux because of his height, his reach, and just the intangibles that he has. But I just feel like he's fighting scared. You look at it, it's all on what St. Preux shows up. That's why he's rotated wins and losses, because he puts in a good performance and then he puts in a horrible one where he gets knocked out or basically just beat up. And I think it's because of his glass chin. And I feel like he's not going to be able to do that against a guy like Tanner Boser, who has lost two fights, in which the last fight I thought maybe he should have won against Latifi. And one more loss, and he might be out of the UFC. So I feel like Boser's going to come in with more urgency. That's going to be the word right there, is urgency. He's going to come in, use his speed, because he's very quick, and his hand speed's good, and he's going to come in and just start throwing strikes at him, and even his kicks. And I could see him going for takedowns and then trying to wear out Vince St. Preux. And I feel like this is I want to say knockout by Boser, but I feel more comfortable saying decision victory by Tanner Boser.
Of course. I mean, the decision is the get out of jail free card, because it's there, right? That's always an option. This is going to be the biggest win, in my opinion, for Tanner Boser, because regardless of weight class, OSP is a big name in UFC. He's built like an action figure. Like, he looks like he is like, you know, a Marvel superhero, if you will. Yeah. But also, he at one point was compared to John Jones and then was talked about as being a great matchup for John Jones. So, you know, it's experience, age catching up with OSP, and the divisions getting faster and stronger and a little more quicker than what he's used to. But I'm always entertained when OSP fights. I think this is going to be a good fight, but I'm going to stick with Tanner Boser.
Yeah, I just feel like he's going to be more urgent. I feel like he's going to fight more aggressive, and he'll be able to get ahead on the scorecards. The only thing he has to watch out is himself getting knocked down. I think he could be dominating. All of a sudden, a Vince Prayer could have a really good minute, yeah, and then pull off like an upset somehow with like a knockdown. But I think in this matchup, I'm still going with Boozer.
Yeah, me too.
But let's move on to the main event of the evening. The reason we're here, I'm excited for this matchup. We got a heavyweight matchup going on between Ciryl Gane, who is 8-0 and is the minus 170 favorite, going up against Alexander Volkov, who is 33-8 and is the plus 145 underdog. What do you feel about this main event?
Well, first, this has title implications in my mind. I think everybody else in the heavyweight division is booked up at this moment. So these guys are the first ones out. Whoever wins this probably gets the next shot. If it's impressive, because I was saying that when Gane fought Rozenstruik, both of these guys are coming off of victories, albeit Volkov's win was more over Walt Harris. I remember that episode quite vividly. I think that's the episode you went in on Walt Harris.
Yes.
Was much more impressive than Gane's versus Rozenstruik. I was completely bored with that fight. I expected so much more from Ciryl Gane. And I think if we're going to say played it cautious, like OSP, I think he played it cautious.
I wouldn't say Gane played it cautious. I just felt like with him fighting his fight, Rozenstruik's the one who's staying back. And it's just like, it just made it look like he was fighting cautious. But that's his game, using his distance. And that's what he did.
I thought that fight was so boring.
It was.
I likened that to the Ngannou-Derek Lewis fight. Like that was a snooze fest. And I thought that was going to be like first round TKO, like on either side, because these guys can just stand and bang. But I expect this fight to remain standing. Volkov came in and said that he's expecting a slugfest. And Gans came in and said that he respects Volkov's wrestling. He says he's got top-notch wrestling in the UFC. I think this is going to be a more aggressive Gane. And I think what's crazy about this is I've never seen, besides maybe Stefan Struve, somebody have a longer reach than Volkov.
Yeah.
And Gane's, 4 inches shorter than him, 3 inches shorter than him? Math is hard sometimes, but coming in there with that reach advantage is huge. But Volkov's best weapon is his range, which he needs to use to his advantage. His wrestling is underrated, and I don't expect Gane to take the fight to the ground. Gane's use of the leg kick could be the X factor in this matchup. I think this fight will start cautiously because there are title implications for this. Both fighters are looking to find their range and then get the second round. And the second round is going to pick up. With this fight, this was the toughest one to pick, I think, because Volkov has looked unbeatable lately. He has looked great. I think the hardest fight he had was against Greg Hardy lately. It was at some points it got a little dicey, and Greg Hardy's practically a novice at MMA, so that kind of played a mind factor in my decision. So I'm going with Ciryl Gane by third round TKO. I think he's gonna break the long limbs of Volkov, get between them, and just piece him up against the cage.
And this was the easiest fight for me to decipher, Ali. But first, you got Ciryl Gane. He fights out Venetians, France. Don't even want to try and say that. Good 31 years old, 247 pounds. He's 6'4 with a 83 inch reach. And then he fights out MMA Factory Gym. Then you got Alexander Volkov, who fights out Moscow, Russia. He's 32 years old, 264 pounds. He's 6'7 with an 81 inch reach. And he fights out Straya Team Gym. First, you got Gane. He has really good distance management and footwork. His speed and head movement are exceptional. He has a kicking game that is refined and one of the best in the division. He has a Muay Thai background and isn't afraid to use his knees and elbows in the clinch. Against southpaws, he likes to use the body kick. His stiff jab is one of his favorite strikes to utilize. He's been working to mix in his jiu-jitsu into his game. And he has one of the best cardios in the division. Then you got Volkov, who likes to strike with a body kick to southpaws and inside low kick. But majority of his offense comes from his hands. He has a straight punch, jab, and a counter to that are his go-to moves. He has a nice uppercut when his opponents lean low to duck, and he likes to push opponents to the fence to start attacking. His takedown defense needs work, and then he has a great chin and powerful punches. One of the things I think that's going to be easy to overlook, like you said, was these guys saying that they're not going to wrestle or this and that. But come on now. The blueprint is out on Volkov. He got taken down 13, 14 times by Curse Blades. And Sirigan has a pretty good wrestling background. I feel like it'd be hard-pressed to say that he's not going to use it or to use it at times to just calm the situation down when Volkov tries to get heated up and get him to the cage, because all he has to do is take him down, and which is going to be easy. But I feel like he's going to utilize his distance. That's his bread and butter. He utilizes his distance. He's going to use those leg kicks, kick him, move back, come in and strike. I could see him trying to get in close, because that way Volkov can't use his striking range, because he's going to be in too close. Use those elbows, use those knees, use everything in his arsenal to wear out Volkov, because Sirigan can go for 6, 7, 8 rounds. He has that exceptional cardio, and I feel like he's going to pick up the win. It's just a matter of what, and I think I'm going to go with the fourth round knockout. I think I'm going to go with that. I think he's going to use the wrestling early on to limitize what Volkov can do with his legs. And then he's going to get up and he's going to use the distance. And like, you got a guy like Volkov who's starting to use his traits, because he came in from light heavyweight. So now he's building up the weight. And so I think he's not going to utilize the wrestling against Volkov as much, because Blades is a heavier guy. But I think he's going to be able to use it, because Volkov doesn't know how to defend it, you know, because of his long legs. It's easy to take him down with him. So I'm going to go with fourth round knockout by Gon.
Okay, so let's play our fun game.
Yeah.
That we do every episode. Cyril wins this fight.
Yeah.
Right? Volkov's ranked below him. Does this, if he wins impressively enough, does this do enough to get him a shot at the winner of Francis and Derek? Or does this say, like, okay, well, we have somebody waiting in the wings, and it's John Jones?
See, the problem is the logjam, like we always know. You got John Jones, who was supposed to get the fight, but now he doesn't want to fight until as soon as January of 2022.
Yeah.
Then you got Derek Lewis, who's probably going to get the shot now. Then you got Stipe, who's probably coming back. I feel like one of the best moves is to go Sirigan and Stipe.
Yeah.
And make that, because if Sirigan can beat Stipe, then he deserves that shot, because you know how Stipe is when coming from a loss. He always comes back looking better after a loss, and then he comes with a revenge. So you got all these guys that want title shots, but you can only go at one, and the others, it's either going to wait a long time, or they're going to wind up just taking a fight just so they don't sit dormant for a long time. And I feel like with Stipe, I think Dana White will be like, here, Gon won, fight him, and then I'll give you the next shot, because I don't want you sitting too long. Yeah. And with Derek Lewis there, and then John Jones, who's a complete wild card, hasn't even fought yet in the division, but he's waiting and likely could get the next shot. This will allow them to both fight, say, October. And then by the time John Jones fights, it'll be a couple months later. And then you could be set up to get the next title shot. So I think that would be the best move.
Yeah, the John Jones monkey wrench that's thrown into this whole thing frustrates the hell out of me. Because, like, I'm a fair guy, right? Fair play type of guy, where I think you got to earn that title shot. Not saying that John Jones hasn't earned you know, the right to be called one of the GOATs. And, you know, obviously he's as good as he is, but, you know, there's people who have been fighting and scrapping to get that, you know, number one contendership fight in the heavyweight division. And John Jones comes in and, you know, allegedly, you know, this is all based on hearsay and tweets that he just wants the fight next year when he's, you know, he looks enormous as a heavyweight right now. It looks scary, deadly. But, you know, I think he should have a tune-up fight personally.
Yeah.
And I think a Ciryl Gane, John Jones heavyweight matchup would be phenomenal.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I've been booking for that for a while, and I don't think it'll happen, but it should. But definitely, like with those, there's a log jam there. Then you got Volkov, Blades, and Rozenstruik right afterwards. You've already seen Blades and Volkov, where Blades dominated him, and then you've already seen. Well, you're about to see Blades and Rozenstruik, and I'm pretty sure. I'm not sure if they fought or not, if Rozenstruik fought Volkov yet.
No.
So, like, you have options. That would be the only option if Rozenstruik would beat Blades is to fight Volkov. But then it's like, because of the weight, it's so much of a log jam. It's like, you got to clear it at some point. You got to book matchups just to clear the log jam and get the division at some hope. With guys like Dawkins and Aspinall on the way up.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a logjam at like the 1 and 2 spot, right?
Yeah.
And from 3 to whatever, people are like, they're actively fighting. We have 4 heavyweights in the last 2 fights of this card, 2 of which are top 5 ranked. So, you know, Francis, luckily, is a fighting champion. He wants to fight often, as opposed to Stipe, who had other obligations. So maybe that logjam will be clear if he, you know, if Francis wins against Derek, maybe he says, all right, give me November, give me December. I'll fight the end of the year card. And then John Jones, you get your fight in March or something like that.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that clears up so I don't have to. And then the only other thing I want to see is Sergey Spivak off the top 15 because he doesn't deserve to be there.
Oh, wow. You didn't like that matchup with him and Alexei?
Well, I said it on an Art of MMA the other day. The only thing that could put me out of my misery is if they booked Walt Harris against Sergey Spivak. That would put me out of my misery.
That might be coming. That might be the next fight, honestly.
It might be. And just like I said, that would put me out of my misery.
Oh, man. All right. Well, I can't wait to talk about that fight.
Yep. But that were end things tonight with the UFC Vegas 30 preview show headlined by Ciryl Gane going up against Alexander Volkov. As always, this is Cage by IQ, the best place for MMA content. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch at the handles to the left. Don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel. And we got everything from preview recap videos to interviews. And we're shooting to get to 200 subs. And then once again, like I said before, we got big news about a business venture that we're going into. So stay tuned for that in the next week or so we can announce that. But as always, I'm your host, D-Babe. This is my co-host, Jim DeLillo. And you guys have a wonderful rest of your night. Thank you for tuning in.
Enjoy the fights.
Yep. Fight on.
Thank you for watching this episode of Cage My IQ on the Sports Box. Please remember to follow us on all of our social media outlets. On Facebook at Sports Box Show, Twitter at Sports Box Show, Instagram at The Sports Box Show. Find us on YouTube and join Outside the Box, our Facebook sports discussion group. The Sports Box is brought to you by our sponsor, Showcase Sports in Hamilton. Showcase Sports for the elite athlete. And also our friends over at CrowdPlay. Download the free CrowdPlay app today and use promo code THEBOX at sign up for 10 free points. Thank you for joining us.